The grace, peace, and love of God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now, last week was a week of very somber reflections. Think about it. It's been 17 years already since the attacks on the World Trade Center and the loss of Flight 97 and the attack on the Pentagon. And last week, we as a nation came together to memorialize those things. There were memorials, of course, in New York City, and there were memorials at the Pentagon, and indeed, even in Somerset County, we dedicated a new memorial to the people who gave their lives on Flight 97. But there were still more memorials. The New York Times, during the course of the entire week, had a retrospective that was remembering that it was during last week, exactly 10 years ago, that Lehman Brothers fell and the banks began to crumble. And they remembered just exactly how frightening that was for not only us as a nation, but for the world economy as we began to see these institutions that were too big to fail actually failing. And they did retrospectives of that time. They talked about it, what it felt like to see bankers leaving buildings with all of their possessions from their office and boxes, knowing that things would change forever. Last week was also the anniversary of a suicide of one of America's greatest literary figures, someone who will go down in history among the literary types, David Wallace Foster. He was indeed a monumental writer. He was someone who was an enigmatic individual. He was someone who fought his own demons, sometimes winning, most of the time losing, but nevertheless a very insightful human being. The 10th anniversary of his suicide was actually on the 12th of September. That happened in 2008. So over the course of the past week, you know, we were treated to all of these different remembrances, memorials. And as I was reading about them, I was reading a little bit, some snippets from a biography about David Foster Wallace, and it pointed me to probably one of his most famous writings. His books and novels are generally very long. A lot of people don't make their way through them. But there's a transcript of a commencement address that he gave to Kenyon College, the graduating class in 2005. It's called This Is Water. And so I took that tome off the shelf, and I was reading through it, and I remembered what St. Augustine said 2,000 years ago about reading. St. Augustine said, read all things charitably, because God's sneaky. God hides holy pearls, golden nuggets, in the most unlikeliest of places, and this essay, which is really an address to a graduating class, is just one such essay. David Foster Wallace says, he addresses this class, and he concludes it by saying, look, he said, there are no atheists. Atheists are a fiction of the mind. Everyone has a god or goddess or a whole pantheon of gods. Everyone worships something or someone. He said, it's the only choice that we have in regards to our theism, in regards to our worship lives, is who or what we worship. And so he goes on to argue that an outstanding reason to worship something that is spiritual and removed is because everything else in all of creation will eat you alive. And then he goes on to give examples. He uses the four Freudian temptations. He said, look, if you find ultimate meaning in money, he said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to make money, and then you're never going to have enough. You're always going to need more and more money, and the more money you have, the poorer you will feel. He said, if you worship sex and physical allure, he said, if you find your meaning in that, he said, you will die a thousand, maybe a million deaths. Because every time you look in the mirror and you see a wrinkle, that will be another nail in your coffin. He said, if you worship power, if you find meaning in that, he said, you will always feel weak and afraid. Because no matter how much power you assume, you have to assume more to keep that anxiety and that fear at bay. He said, if you worship your intellect, he said, you will always feel stupid because you will come to know that you do not know, and then you will feel like a fraud, and you will always be afraid that someone will unmask you. And he concluded. He concluded that the problem in making gods of these things, money, our body, power, or intellect, is that very oftentimes we don't examine them because they are the human default position. We do this without thinking, and so does everyone else around us, so that societies, cultures, and civilizations eventually all kind of herd us in that direction. And he challenged the graduating class of Kenyon College. He challenged his hearers with wrestling with worshiping something spiritual, something ineffable, with developing hard disciplines in order to do so. And he's told them, if you want to find ultimate truth, if you really want to find meaning in life, he said, it's found in the spiritual discourse, the spiritual practice of loving and caring, a practice that is oftentimes viewed by the world as being unsuccessful, as being not very sexy, as being weak, and as being stupid. Wow. I read that. I thought, that's the Lutheran faith in a nutshell. Start with this first premise, right? There are no such things as atheists. Everyone has a God. When you read Luther's large catechism, and you look at his explanation of the first catechism or the first commandment, that's exactly what he says. He says, you know, the difference between a believer and an idolater is the simple fact of where they place their heart. He said, everybody has a God. He said, and you know where your God is? It is where you place your heart, where you look for help in time of struggle and in time of need. I thought, wow, you know, David Foster Wallace is onto something. You know, we hit that wicket with Luther. And then David Foster Wallace goes on in the postmodern way to talk about the fact our proclivities as being a default position. It's like when I mess up my cell phone, I have to get, you know, the little paperclip and straighten it out and press that button in the bottom to reset it to all the default positions. We, our human default position, is one that makes idols of those things around us. The church has known this. It's the oldest doctrine and dogma of the church. It's called original sin. We're born this way. That's just how we are. Likewise, the church's proclamation, the church's main message, is precisely that living a life of the cross, a life lived like Jesus' life, a sacrificial life of love for others, is where we as humans can truly find meaning. It's something divine. It's something that is beyond our normal capacity, and yet through hard disciplines can be experienced. Now we see this very same lesson being taught to St. Peter today. Disciples are making their way through Caesarea Philippi. Very familiar story. Jesus asks, who do the people say that I am? And they give all of the examples of what they've heard. Jesus turns the table on them, says, who do you say that I am? And St. Peter hits it out of the park and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus goes on to explain to the disciples what this will mean. This will mean a life of the cross. I'm headed toward Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, I will be betrayed. I will be crucified. I will rise on the third day. Now, this is where St. Peter, after getting it right for the first time in the gospel, then goes to his default position. He takes Jesus aside, and he tells Jesus, you know what? This whole cross thing, it's unsuccessful, it's not sexy, it's weak, and it's stupid. And so, we're going to make you a holy success. This, in the Gospel of Mark, really reminds him of his temptation in the wilderness at the hands of Satan, when Satan was trying to tempt him out of fulfilling his legacy in the world. And so Jesus says, get behind me, Satan, for you're acting like a human. You're doing all those default things. And then he tells his disciples that in order to find their life, they must lose it. That in order to truly experience meaning and the truth in a philosophical sense with a capital T. They must lose themselves for others. So here we are at the end of a week of remembrances, hearing again Jesus calling to follow him in a life of love, love of God and love of the neighbor, for the sake of the world around us. May the risen Lord Jesus Christ continue to call us to the cross, and may we be disciplined enough to follow. Amen.